This episode is about recognition. Since 1994, the HIMSS Nicholas E. Davies Award of Excellence has rewarded outstanding achievement in generating improvement of care outcomes and return on investment through the use of health IT. Winning the Davies Award certainly brings provider organizations recognition as thought leaders within the larger healthcare industry, but it also brings them a new level of recognition within themselves, a better understanding of their own organization's innovative best practices and good governance models. On today's episode of Steps to Value, we hear directly from organizations as they describe the processes and lessons learned through completing the Davies Award application. I'm Adam Baser, and today I speak with thought leaders from four 2015 Davies Award recipients, all who were at HIMSS-16 to share their stories of success. We hear from Centura Health, an integrated health system in Colorado and Kansas, HealthNet, Indiana's largest federally qualified health center, Ontario Shores Center for Mental Health Sciences, a behavioral health clinic in Ontario, Canada, and the Wright Center, a patient-centered medical home in Pennsylvania. All that coming up. You're listening to Steps to Value. We're joined today by thought leaders from Centura Health, a health system that provides accessible and affordable healthcare in Colorado and Western Kansas, who recently was named a 2015 Davies Award winner. Joining us today are Louise Schottstedt, Chief Medical Information Officer, Dr. Steve Milligan, Medical Director, Accountable Care, Will McConnell, VP Operations and Outreach Strategy, and Tamara Lavingood, Clinical Performance Coordinator. Louise, Steve, Will, and Tamara, thank you for joining us today. Louise, this first question is for you. What was the business case for Centura Health that drove your application submission for the Davies Award?
I think there were two business cases. One I'd rather define as a clinical case. Certainly, we knew that we were seeing very, very good outcomes from applying intentionally aspects and features of our EHR to clinical problems and issues that we had. And we knew we had good outcomes. We wanted to share those. To, again, share our successes and our application of the EHR for other folks, hopefully to inspire other clinical systems. We certainly had a financial business case as well. Receiving such a prestigious award as the Davies Award speaks highly to the strength of our IT services at Centura, and our board takes notice. Our operational and financial leaders do take notice of that, and that's very helpful.
And Will and Tamara, if you could speak a little bit about what you found out about Centura Health having gone through the application process. What did you learn about yourself?
For me, it was really recognition of the great things that we were actually doing. I think a lot of times you get so focused on getting things done and providing care and doing things that you never really take a step back and realize what you've accomplished. And so from my perspective, this was an amazing endeavor because it allowed us to take a step back and look at what we were really accomplishing. And it turned out to be really amazing things. And being able to recognize not only our organization, but also the great work from our staff and the impact that they've had, and that it was really because of their work that we achieved this award. It was a great message to bring back and something that was really powerful and positive to celebrate.
And Tamara, how about from your perspective?
Well, you know, Centura Health is a huge organization. So it's made up of a hospital system and a clinical system. And, you know, Mercy Family Medicine specifically is on the other side of the mountain. And for us to be able to share our story with a huge organization, I thought it was wonderful. I mean, what a huge opportunity to be able to say, this is going on, and it wasn't going on in any of the other clinic settings for us to do the Comprehensive Primary Care Initiative. And it definitely was worthwhile and great outcomes. And as Will said, it was because of the staff and their motivation, hard work. And now they're recognized.
And Tamara, I'm wondering if you could speak towards, and Steve, please jump in on this as well. What kind of culture change did you see post the Davies Award win?
It was very clear after we got the Davies Award that staff just felt recognized. And with recognition, you work harder and you realize the value in what you're doing. That was it. It was recognition and then motivation.
That's great. And Steve, from your perspective?
The work that our group has been doing has been relatively new and something that Centura came up with about 5 years ago. And to present the material to the Davies group and get their feedback of, wow, this is really innovative. Wow, this is really important. This looks like it works. Validated what we were doing. And to actually come here and be able to talk to other Davies Award winners and realize they're doing the same thing that we're doing reinforces that we're probably on the right path to population health.
Louise, looking back, if knowing what you know now from the experience, would there be anything you would change? What would you do differently knowing what you know now?
I almost would like to do this all over again and invite a whole another set of people and programs and services. You know, we knew certainly about Tamara's good work and Steve's work and invited them to help us with this application process. I think there are 5 or 10 other services and programs that we are not highly aware of. As Tamara said, it's a very large organization. I would love to do this again to tell more stories.
One last question for all of you. Our podcast is about the relationship between humans and technology. And so we're interested. What would you describe as your favorite technological invention and what impact do you think it had on our culture?
I got one that comes immediately to mind unless you want to go first.
For me, it's the coffee pot. I think it's had a huge impact on our culture. If you think about the Industrial Revolution, you know, people still didn't start to work until after they'd made their morning tea. Now coffee is instant. It's right there. Unfortunately, that means we work longer days, but we do have the caffeine to do it with.
So when I think of the impact to culture, it can be either positive or negative. And I would say the smartphone has probably been one of the biggest impacts, both positive and negative, when it comes to the impact on culture. Whether it, you know, speaking to more caffeine and the ability to extend the workday with the smartphone and with always being accessible, it's really had a profound impact and has, at least for me in a positive way, has caused me to be more purposeful about how I segment my time. Because it can be all day, every day from a work perspective, or it can be, you know, check it in and spend time with your family or friends. So I would say that the smartphone really has had a profound impact on both accessibility from a personal perspective, but also a professional work perspective. And it can find you anywhere.
Tamara, Steve, any thoughts?
Okay, the main thing that I think about is, and this relates now back to healthcare and what we were doing, you know, to be able to identify who the sick people are and be able to target your resources toward that. And then there is such a human side of that.
Steve, your thoughts?
So I'm gonna piggyback on Will's idea just a little bit with the benefit to society versus the not a benefit to society. And social media is the thing that strikes me the most. There are many very positive aspects of social media, even in healthcare. There is reaching out to patients via social media, etc. But there's also a other side, the double edge of the sword, which is can't tell you how many times you walk around even here and see people paying more attention to their Facebook status than they are to who's talking or interacting with people, or I've got 500 friends, but I sit by myself in my room. So I think social media is a good technological advance. It's just, we need to learn how to use it better.
Louise, Steve, Will, and Tamara, thank you for joining us today. You've been hearing from thought leaders at Centura Health We've been speaking with Louise Schatzstadt, Chief Medical Information Officer, Dr. Steve Milligan, Medical Director, Accountable Care, Will McConnell, VP Operations and Outreach and Strategy, and Tamara Lavingood, Clinical Performance Coordinator. Thank you all. Listening to Steps to Value. Lauren Borgman has 9 years of experience in healthcare quality and electronic medical records at HealthNet, Indiana's largest federal qualified health center. In 2010, Lauren became HealthNet's EMR program manager. She continues to serve in this role and has led HealthNet through more than a dozen EMR transitions and several major version upgrades across multiple specialties. Carlos Guevara, BA, MED, has been an EMR analyst at HealthNet for the last 5 years. As an EMR analyst, he helped support over 150 providers and 400 nurses and staff using the EMR. He has served as interim manager of the EMR department on 2 occasions and is the lead EMR analyst at HealthNet for meaningful use, patient-centered medical home, new staff EMR training, and more. Lauren, Carlos, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start looking at the business case that drove HealthNet to apply for the Davies Award. Can you speak towards that?
Sure. I think more than anything for us, it was really just to recognize our staff and our providers for the work that they're doing, you know, just to really highlight all that they do every day. And, the Davies Award and the application process allowed us to put some of the work they've done and the outcomes of such work in writing. There was really so much more we could have highlighted, but we felt this award would show them just how valuable they are, not only in caring for their patients every day, but also in the larger just medical and health IT arena. You know, our docs really do an outstanding job, and so this really just allowed us to highlight some of the work that they've been doing.
Correct, and at the same time, we host other clinics or healthcare organizations who are looking to purchase the EMR, and throughout those visits, we've learned that other practices identified and could see the job we were doing. And at the same time, they recommended for us to apply for this award because it was clear they could see some of the good work we were doing, and we wanted to be able to put that on paper.
From an organizational standpoint, what do you feel that you learned about yourself going through the Davies application process?
I think we learned a lot. One of the main things we learned was the excitement that this brings to our staff, knowing that they were running for such a prestigious award. We also learned that we have a great job doing a multidisciplinary team effort. A lot of people came together to put this case studies together and everything that came with the application process.
Yeah, the other thing I'll add is that, I don't think we ever really stopped to look at all of the, what we were getting in return, after, putting so much work and resources into implementing the EMR and to constantly working to improve things. And, I'm one of those people that I'm the lucky person that gets to sign off on all the physician licensing. So all the costs associated with that, the costs associated with e-prescribing and the patient education module, messenger functions, et cetera. So I know we're spending money, but we had never really stopped to see, what we're really gaining, in return, outside of some of the clinical outcomes that we had seen. And so it was really, cool to realize that we've actually seen a 230% return on investment, after implementing our EMR and our practice management system in 2009. So, I think it just goes to show that, the hard work and the way we're utilizing our resources, it is paying off. And I think we're doing something right in all of that.
You both talk about your own perspectives and what you gained and learned about your organization through the Davies process. How do you see the award of the Davies or even within the application process itself, what kind of culture changes did you see the Davies driving within your organization?
culture-wise, it didn't change much, but maybe it highlighted some of the culture that's within our organization. We're talking about multidisciplinary team efforts, looking at processes and then improving them. So maybe one thing that will come with time is that we will maybe take more time to do what we did in this case, which is step back, look at what we've done, and kind of appreciate and see some of the fruits of our efforts. Not so much of a culture change, but highlighting some of the things of what we do currently.
Sounds like it acts as almost both a spotlight and a mirror in terms of your processes and the organization.
Yes, absolutely. That's an excellent way of putting it.
Okay, so let's be reflective for a moment. In terms of starting today, let's say we're starting, HealthNet's starting their Davies application process now, knowing what you know now, what would you do different? Would you do anything differently?
So the first thing I would suggest is to not start the application process when you're 9 months pregnant. kind of kidding. But really, I was really fortunate, that, you know, I actually was 9 months pregnant whenever we started this process. And so I knew I would not be able to complete the application process with the rest of our team. And, you know, but Carlos was so gracious and he jumped right in and he did a really awesome job, you know, filling in the pieces. And so, you know, as far as what we would do differently though, I'm not sure what we would do differently. You know, I think if I were to suggest something to someone who was just starting this process, though, I would suggest that you give yourself plenty of time to complete the application process. It is something that you want to do right and you want to do well, because it truly is a reflection of, you know, the work that you've done as an organization. And, you know, so you want to do it well. You want it to be a true reflection of that. So start months in advance. You know, because as soon as you plan on working on it, something else is going to come up, and then the next time you plan on working on it, something else is going to come up, and so, you know, that's just going to happen. So give yourself plenty of time. The other thing I would say is that if you feel like you're in a position where, you know, well, maybe we should apply, but maybe we're not really ready. You know, I know we kind of, you know, toggled with that for a while. But the really nice thing about HIMSS is that if you feel like you're kind of in that position, then you should just reach out to them and talk to them, because they're really good about, you know, giving you a feel for where they believe you are. And then they can direct you and give you some tips, you know, and anything that you might be able to do, to get yourself more ready for that if you're not already ready.
So Lauren, how much, time do you think an organization should invest, as far as completing the Davies application process?
Great question. I would suggest at least 6 or 7 months. If you can, you know, get started, that far in advance, you know, you're really gonna set yourself up, you know, to really give yourself the time that you need to touch base with anyone you might need to touch base with, and to really gather the data you need to put into this.
Yeah. And Carlos, if you could speak towards, you know, the process, that you went through, in terms of working with the various specialties you mentioned, what words of advice would you have for other organizations as they go through that?
6 to 9 months will be a good time to give yourself to apply for this. The instructions on the case studies were very clear, but there's a lot of detail to it, so it takes time for you to go through it and make sure you cover everything that you're being asked to cover and be able to show the data that they want to see. So give yourself time for interviews, give yourself time for data collection, and then your time to write the case studies. And at the end, you have a site visit with the group, which was very enjoyable from our end to get to meet the people here at HIMSS.
Can you talk a moment about that site visit? Was it a moment of pride? You feel like you were showing the organization off?
Yes, it was a very unique experience. We have Jonathan French and one of his colleagues come to our organization back in September, and we met with some of the senior leadership. We had a chance to really explain what our case studies contain. There is so much that goes in between the lines that we were able to get out during that meeting and show other stuff that we could not include in the case studies because of the length of the case study. It was a unique experience. We were, you know, like you said, we were proud to show what we do at our health centers. It was nice to see kind of what people were telling us ahead of time, kind of see that come together and get that recognition that we were hoping to get. So yeah, very exciting experience, very nice people.
One last question. This is a question we ask all of our guests. Our podcast deals with the relationship between humans and technology. Wondering, what's your own personal favorite technological invention, and what impact do you think it had on culture? And this can be anything. Doesn't have to be healthcare specific.
Very good question. We were talking about that earlier today. I came up with two things, but I'm going to go with one of the two, which I personally don't own, but I do see its effect on our culture, which is the Fitbit and those type of devices. You've seen how in the past, I don't know, 5-6 years, companies have started using that for their insurance program. Even within our company, we've seen people try to compete and get more steps or get more miles throughout the day. There's apps for it. So yeah, those Fitbit, I don't know what would be the correct term for that device, but kind of like self-monitoring devices. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've had a huge impact in our culture, I believe.
Lauren, any thoughts?
Yeah, so like Carlos said, we kind of talked about this earlier, and you know, we both talked about the Fitbit. We also talked about the cell phone. You know, I mean, I think cell phones are kind of old news now, but truly, I mean, they have such an impact on you know, almost every interaction that we have anymore. You know, text messaging and emails, everything comes through our phones. You know, when we don't have them, we all kind of panic. You know, even I know, you know, one of us had to leave it in the room for a short time today, you know, just to let it charge, and it, you know, kind of feeling like a piece of you is missing. So, I know it's greatly changed, you know, just how we interact with friends and family, but it's also changed the way, we do business. And, you know, there's good and bad that comes with that. I think we all kind of are used to getting responses to things, you know, kind of that instant gratification. And so we all, you know, are getting used to that, and so expect that not only with, you know, responses on various things, but, in so many areas of our lives now. So, you know, so that's both good and bad.
Well, Lauren Borgman, Carlos Guevara, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to Steps to Value.
You're listening to Steps to Value. Sanaz Riahi is Director, Professional Practice, Clinical Information, and Interim Admin Director, Adolescent Services at Ontario Shores. Sanaz works with internal and external stakeholders on the utilization of technology in health systems to support and advance a quality interprofessional practice environment to optimize outcomes for patients, staff, and the organization. Her research interests are in nursing health systems, restraint minimization, and violence and aggression in mental health. Sanaz, thank you for joining us today. So what was the business case for Ontario Shores Center for Mental Health Services that drove your application submission for the Davies Award?
Right from the beginning, our board of directors and our senior management team really understood the value that health IT would bring to our organization. And so both from a quality of care perspective and patient safety perspective, were the key drivers in investing in health IT and seeing the journey over 7 years through this and realigning resources to ensure that we can really achieve what we've been successful at to this date.
Going through this process, what did you find out about your organization as you were completing the Davies application process?
It was a very interesting process, I have to say, one that I think brought such value to us from many perspectives. It allowed us to, for the first time, comprehensively pause and reflect on the value that the health IT and our EMR has brought to our organization. And I think through that process, it we've been able to share that information with our end users or our clinicians so that they can also see why we're doing what we're doing. So it really, it brought a different lens that we hadn't had an opportunity to pause and really reflect on in the past.
Have you seen any culture changes within the organization post your winning of the Davies Award?
I think we've seen a culture change throughout the years, and one that has been a slow culture change, but I think one that's been quite meaningful, where our clinicians are understanding why it's important to have evidence-based practices and understanding the value that those interventions can bring to care for the patient, because we're sharing that information back to the clinicians around patient outcomes or process outcomes and adherence outcomes. And so I think perhaps not specifically post the Davies Award, but I think it's been a slow change in culture to appreciate data and how that data can translate into information and into informing clinical care.
So if you were starting the Davies application process now, would knowing what you know from your previous experience, what would you do differently? Would you do anything differently?
That's a fantastic question, and I don't think we change anything. I don't think we would do anything differently, but I think one thing that that whole process has taught us is we do need to create formal processes to be able to continuously look at the value and the benefits that the technology is bringing to our to the organization, both from a practice perspective and an operation perspective. And I think this process of the Davies application has really allowed us to understand that and allowed us to now pause and put in work in processes to create those opportunities so then we don't lose sight of looking at the value of the EMR.
You've been listening to Sanaz Riahi, Director Professional Practice, Clinical Information, and Interim Admin Director, Adolescent Services at Ontario Shores Center for Mental Health Sciences. Sanaz, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Steps to Value. Dr. Jignesh Sheth is Senior Vice President for Clinical Operations at the Wright Center in Northeastern Pennsylvania. Board certified in internal medicine, he actively practices and teaches at the Wright Center for Primary Care Mid-Valley, an NCQA Level 3 patient-centered medical home. Courtney Dempsey is the Clinical Innovation Specialist at the Wright Center. She is the Director of Scribe Services, HIPAA Privacy and Security Officer, Project Lead for Closing the Referral Loop, and Project Manager of the Wright Center's Balanced Scorecard. Courtney, Jignesh, thank you for joining us today. What was the business case for the Wright Center that drove you to the application process for the Davies Award?
When we were at one of the IHI's conference, we got exposed to what is called as the HIMSS as an organization. I don't think we had much awareness about the organization until we were at their booth. Courtney was actually the person who saw the booth, spoke to the gentleman there, and saw the kind of case studies that were submitted and the recipients of these awards, which quickly inspired her, like, wow, we are doing a lot of things that could actually qualify for this award, and why don't we actually go ahead and see if we will be able to submit something that may be what they're looking for in the ambulatory care setting. And that's where we started the process.
And I'd have to say that I was forewarned that it was going to be a lot of work, but definitely worth it. So that really encouraged me to go and apply for the award and see what it was all about and what the Wright Center could offer for HIMSS and see what we could do and make sure that, you know, we were in line with the HIMSS Davies Award, and I don't know if we knew how much work it would be, but we definitely are not averse to hard work, and we saw what beauty this process offered us, and I think it's turned out very positive.
And I have to add, like, we are an organization that is constantly looking to improve and innovate the way we do things, and we're also a learning organization, so we thought this will be a perfect opportunity for us to learn and maybe showcase the work that we've been doing internally as a small organization in Northeastern PA.
That's actually a great segue to our next question. As you were going through the application process and beyond, what do you feel you learned about yourself as an organization from the experience?
I feel when we go through a process like this, it almost gives you an aha moment of recapping what you've been doing over the past 12 months to a year. To maybe a year and a half. It kind of gives you the opportunity to review all the efforts that you've been involved in and really synthesize what our future steps are going to be. So this really helps us recap what we have done and plan for future.
And I think what it did was it brought a lot of us together. So as we're going through the process, we identified people in the organization of maybe where we wanted to highlight or where we could find some information that maybe we didn't have, or we did have, but we didn't know that we could showcase it and go through this process. I think that it was beautiful to see how much we've accomplished, because a lot of times we get so busy in doing all the work that we don't take a step back to see all the things that we've accomplished. So that was a pretty cool process.
Do you feel that there's been, or let me put it this way, how has the Davies Award application process, the receiving the award, how has it changed the culture of the Wright Center?
I think it has changed the way we think about quality improvement projects in general, because one of the main important aspects of Davies Award application was we had to obviously show what kind of clinical innovation we have implemented, but also highlight how that innovation was able to change outcomes. So they stressed really hard that you need to show how this improved, say, either patient care outcomes or how this improved, like, financial numbers for the clinic. And that kind of allowed us to step back and say, hey, okay, we are doing all these innovations. Are we actually creating value? And that's what they are looking for. So it kind of allows us to kind of think about innovations in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Was there a particular innovation that stood out that, you know, once you were going through the process, really brought to light some of the work that your organization was doing to yourselves?
So out of the several innovations that we've been doing at the Wright Center, obviously the three that we submitted for the HIMSS case study review were the three top innovations that we thought were eligible because of their requirements.
Can you describe those for our listeners?
So the first case study that we focused on was a way to develop like a healing relationship between a patient and their provider. And the process actually is called empanelment. So for our listeners who are not accustomed to hearing the term empanelment basically is assigning patient to a team of clinical providers, medical assistants, and nurse so that a patient is being taken care of by a team versus an individual. In order to provide continuity of care at all times during the day, all hours, including weekends, so that a patient is able to see a familiar face every time they walk into the clinic, versus seeing anybody who's randomly available that day. So the whole concept of assigning a team to our patient and making the team responsible for panel of patients is what empanelment is.
And I'd also say that we looked at the topics. So there were, when you apply for the Davies Award, you look at a bunch of different topics, they're broad subjects. But as we looked through this, we realized that we built the culture of population health. And how did we do that? Well, we have these three tools that we used. We started with empanelment, and then we bridged into the PDSA tracker tool, which is our rapid cycle quality improvement tracker tool. And through that, we had these micro evolutions of improvement, which built this culture, and then we tied in our PACE card as well, our tracker tool into our PACE card, which is, our objective measures or our report cards for each employee. And they all tied in together to build this culture. And I think what the Davies Award really did for the employees was have them recognize all the work that we've been doing, and that they realize now we want a national award for this. So they take great pride in their work. And they realize that, oh, the Wright Center, we're being recognized for how awesome this is. And all of our daily work is connected to this higher purpose.
That's wonderful. Let's get down to the nitty gritty for organizations that are thinking about going through this process. What type of time commitment would you suggest that they focus around? What kind of timeline? Are there certain processes or individuals within an organization that you would suggest they reach out to?
I think any kind of clinical innovation will require support from the leadership top down, because if you don't have the leadership that is engaged from the very beginning, a process is either not going to function the way it's designed to, or it's not going to be completed in a given time frame. So I think leadership engagement is extremely important. The next important thing is, I think, what we were fortunate enough is to have the IT support staff in-house. And the IT support staff included two arms. One was a clinical IT person who's actually in charge of our electronic medical record, as well as, you know, pulling all the reports and looking at those reports on a daily basis. And the second arm of IT includes the actual information technology people who actually do the programming as well as the front end of any of such report cards, either report cards or any quality outcomes or any of those measures that are reported back requires the IT folks. So I think you need to have both those arms. So unless you have a strong clinical IT person as well as a strong IT person, none of these processes are going to be long-term sustainable.
And that's true. It has to be a team, like Dr. Schett said. But there's also, with the process of writing the application, you really need someone who can kind of grab what's going on in the organization and bring these pieces together, and like the writing of the application, I would say. And then also, you know, where are you going to get this data? Because it's data-driven. You need at least 12 months of data in order to apply for the award. So if you don't have that structure, you might not be able to apply for the award yet. But, you know, once you have 12 months of data, it's pretty amazing to see what you can accomplish. So I think you definitely need a writer. We have a fabulous EMR specialist who connects our daily clinical work to the IT. And then also we have an IT department that, you know, helps us build all of these cool clinical innovations. So I think, but we also had a huge help from our communications department as well, with kind of writing and polishing, I would say, mm-hmm. for our award application. And so I think that was super key and very important to have the team come together because it's such a big deal.
So it really is a team effort.
Yes. Oh, it's not one person. So I would say it's a lot of time for multiple different employee and different types of occupations coming together.
So overall, you mentioned 12 months of data. Overall, in terms of the actual application process, the writing, how long did that take you at the Wright Center?
Well, there's the initial application, and I'd say that probably took about a week or about 40 hours just to kind of identify, because we had to review the process, and then we had an hour interview where we decided, they kind of outlined the whole process for us, and we decided what case studies we were going to write about. Because initially we didn't really know. We knew we were doing a lot of innovative things, but we didn't know exactly what we would write about.
And like I said, there might be a lot of innovations that you have done that you feel are extremely important as an organization. But when you go through the application process, they clearly tell you, you have to link all those innovations back to patient care outcomes. And there could be health outcomes or a cost-saving outcomes for the organization. And if you're not able to link those innovations back to one of those, they're not eligible to be included in the application. So really, it's really hard to find those innovations that can be tied back to measures that can be reported within your organization.
Mm-hmm. And those objective measurements of return on investment, and, you know, those are solid, objective things that we can kind of tangibly grasp. But our innovations have a lot of immeasurable value for the organization. So we wanted to talk about a lot of those, but these three case studies specifically were why we chose them, was because we had tangible outcomes and data-driven results.
Well, and it sounds like it's good that you have some stories to tell for your next Davies application.
Oh, definitely.
And award.
Absolutely. We were actually already thinking about our next application while we were at this conference.
Yes.
So we may be here very soon.
That's great. One last question, and we hope this is a fun one. Our podcast focuses around humans and technology and the relationship between the two. From your perspective, what would you describe as your favorite technological invention, and what impact do you think it had on our society? It doesn't have to be healthcare. It could be anything.
I think the greatest innovation that we have had as a society is access to information, because several years ago, information was either housed in a library in a separate building outside of your reach, or in a world where you may or may not have access to. I think with the advancement of cell phones, computers, internet, smart devices, as I'm going to say as a category, I think we now have easy access to a lot of this information, although it comes with its own disadvantages of there is so much information now, you don't know how to categorize them as useful versus not so useful. But that's also obviously a challenge of growing technology, but I think that was one of the greatest innovation. Having point of care access to information has been the greatest innovation that mankind has seen in the past, I would say, 15, 20 years.
And Courtney, how about you? Favorite technological invention and its impact?
Well, that's a tough answer to follow up. That was a great answer. So I actually agree. I think that information technology should be a right, or information should be a right for everyone. And that's something that the internet has really given to the entire world. So I think that's an awesome, I was going to say the internet. But I thought that that was really key because it spurs education and more inventions. So even while we're on this podcast today, right, this is technology. This is getting the information out there, bringing more potential Davies winners on board.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us today, Dr. Jignesh Sheth, Senior Vice President for Clinical Operations, and Courtney Dempsey, Clinical Innovation Specialist, both from the Wright Center. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
You've reached the end of another episode of Steps to Value. For more information on the Davies Award, including case studies from all the organizations included in today's episode, please visit hims.org/Davies. I'd like to thank our guests for today, Louise Schottstadt, Steve Milligan, Will McConnell, and Tamara Lavingood from Centura Health, Lauren Borgman and Carlos Guevara from HealthNet, Sanaz Riha from Ontario Shores Center for Mental Health Sciences, and finally, Dr. Jignesh Sheth and Courtney Dempsey from the Wright Center. This episode was co-produced by Rod Pahowski. Our scheduling coordinator is Rhonda Frazier. Any comments on today's show? Questions? Ideas for an upcoming episode? You can reach us at value@hims.org. This is Adam Baser, and you've been listening to Steps to Value.